So last night I went to see Disney Pixar, their latest movie, Inside Out. And I am about halfway through episode 254 of The Incomparable, called You've Ruined Pizza, which is great when you've seen it. And I'm about halfway through that. But I really loved this movie, and I wanted to just share some of my thoughts with you, because I think they're very... I come from a very different background to basically everybody on the panel, in that I don't have kids. And I know that Andy didn't, but he seemed to also be coming at this from looking at it in that way as well, like looking at it as a effect that parents can have on children as being one of the key themes of the movie, which it definitely is, and I could see that. But that was not the way this movie made me feel.
Okay.
So I'm not a parent, right? So all that stuff with, you know, and it really, I can see it there, right? Because I could feel the emotion in it, like the parts where the, like, the mom and dad are saying to Riley about, thank you for being so strong for us, right? You know, you can, you could see it at the time, like, uh-oh, that's a problem. By the way, massive spoilers for Inside Out, and we're not really going to go through the plot. I just had some feelings that I wanted to get out, so I hope that you've seen it. But basically, it seemed that a lot of the discussion that I've heard on the great episode of The Incomparable so far is about this effect that parents have on kids and how it can be to watch children grow and for, like, the emotions to form. But for me, this felt like a very interesting take on mental health. That was kind of the way that I saw this movie and the way that I was watching it, because it was kind of like... explaining to me as well, and the way that it made me feel, was to kind of be like, to say you can balance things. Like, it's okay that all of these emotions exist, and at certain times different emotions will drive you. But it's cool, because that's just what's going to happen. And it was very interesting to me, because I thought it was a really positive message for mental health, to be like, these are the five elements that we have in our minds, and no one person is all of them, you know, except for the bus driver. But, you know, but we have all of these different elements that make up our personality, and it's totally okay that at certain points they're going to drive. And what it ended up showing was ones that you think are really bad, like sadness, actually can be incredibly important to your life, right? And the way that that can run. And, you know, you see it. And I noticed it at the time when they showed that the mother was being controlled by sadness. Sadness was in the middle of her control desk, right? Showing for her. And, like, the dad was anger, right? Like, they have these guiding emotions in that Riley had, the daughter had joy, but they can change and they can grow and they adapt. And I also felt about, like, the journey that joy and sadness go on. So, like, they get ejected out of headquarters. Genius, right? Stuff like that. Headquarters. Very clever. Like, train of thought.
Oh yeah, train of thought.
Those Pixar people are just geniuses. They really are so smart, the way they think of those little things. The journey that they go on together, and watching how everything gets broken down and how they have to go through it together and to work out that actually they can coexist and why that's beneficial. I kind of saw that as, like, every kid has that happen in their brains, right? Like, that joy and sadness always get lost together for every child. Like, it wasn't a, this is what I took from it anyway, it wasn't a thing that just happened to Riley. Like, there is a thing in which all kids go through, right? They go through that period or that time where joy and, you know, sadness or whatever are not with them anymore, and they're driven by anger, for example, because there are these other emotions, these other, like, strong emotions that they have are off having that adventure where they can learn to get back together and rebuild their personality. And the whole idea of the personality is getting broken down and new ones being grown. I imagine, like, the way that I look at that is that happens to all of us multiple times in our lives, and that different traumas break down our personalities and allow them to grow again. Like, I think of, like, breakups in relationships. They break it down again. You have that relationship island smashed to pieces. And then when you meet somebody new, it grows differently because this person's different, and you grow into a relationship yourself, and it enables you as a whole to change. And it, and those kind of big moments in our lives smash those islands down and enable us to rebuild them a bit. So that's my overall feeling about Inside Out.
I think it's funny about the parents. I think some of that is about, as a parent, you're thinking this is a movie about the emotional development of a child. And so when, if you've got children, you start to think about their emotional development as a child more than about your own emotional development, especially as a child and becoming an adult. And I think that's one of the reasons that, you know, as parents, we kind of took that point of view. I think you're right. I think one of the messages of the film is definitely the idea that if you're thinking that the only way for you to be a normal person or a healthy person is that you are happy all the time, that you are setting unrealistic expectations for yourself, and that life is more complicated and people are more complicated than that. And that, you know, some of the richness in life is things that we think of as negative, and that that's all a part of us too. And I think, you know, I think you're right. It's a message of this about sort of mental health and a healthy attitude toward life, that, that it's all part of the whole. And that if you decide to categorize it as like, this is the good part and this is the bad part, then you're going to be unhappy or unhealthy, because you have an unrealistic expectation for life. It can never be fulfilled, and that in fact you wouldn't want a life that was nothing but this, because, you know, if there are no highs and lows, then everything is just flat. And ultimately that's the message of the movie, right? Is that joy and sadness together create, you know, to use nerdy terms, create this kind of dynamic range. Like it's better that the memories are bittersweet and not just all joyful or all sad, that it's this combination, which again, I think that's why it's about a young girl, is that she's going through this transformation that leads to adults that hopefully, you know, in the adult mind, you have a more nuanced set of feelings that are all working together and integrated more. But as a child, you know, you don't start out that way. And so we're seeing her understand about mixed emotions and about, you know, feeling bittersweet feelings about things. And it's really interesting. Also, Bing Bong is in it. And any parent will tell you that when the moment that the imaginary friend comes on screen, you think, oh no, something bad is going to happen to Bing Bong, because imaginary friends don't last. It's a beautiful thing, but then they fade away and they're gone. And again, as a parent, you look at this and you think, this is also a story about all of these things that you saw in your children when they were little, that then eventually they all went away because they grew up. So that's another reason that, you know, you view that way as a parent, I think.
Yeah, I didn't have that crushing sense of dread when Bing Bong came on the screen.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. I that was a moment I was like, oh no, Big Mong. Cause imagine how many grownups do you know who have imaginary friends, right? It's like, he's doomed. And he's already been filed away. He's lurking in the background, right?
Sure.
So yeah, it's a good movie. It's a really good movie. And it has there's a lot of depth to it. There will be great, you know, there'll be books written about the meaning and metaphor in Inside Out, I think.
I cried a lot, Jason.
Wow. It's a great work of art, and Pixar is good at making people cry too. But it's a really fascinating piece of art.
I have to say that the correlation between time of Pixar movies, you know, like over time as more and more movies have come out, and crying, there has been an increase in the amount that they make you cry.
Yeah, they've been making people cry since Toy Story 2, I would say, but lately they definitely are very good at it, and they know it.
There's like a whole half hour towards the end of the movie where I'm crying every 3 minutes. Like, I'm not like, when I say crying as well, because I say this like a bunch, I don't mean like tears running down my face, but like I'm choked up and there are tears in my eyes. I kind of consider that as crying, because it's like, you may as well have done that to me now, because I'm on the edge, you know. You've effectively got me to the edge, so I will call that crying. I saw a link today that they're going to be making a little like an Inside Out kind of direct to DVD type thing as an extra on the movie and the, on the Blu-ray, which is cool. And it's called Riley's First Date. So I'm happy about that, that there'll be more kind of stuff, which is great. I'm happy to see that. But I wanted to end this show today by asking you what emotions do you think drive you? Because, you know, we have the mom is driven by sadness and the dad is driven by anger and Riley tends to be driven by joy. What emotions drive Jason Snell?
I can't answer this question. I love that you want to end on this, and I have no answer for you because I feel like I'm a pretty integrated person, and I have all of those emotions.
Well, I can answer for myself then, I think.
All right.
I think that I tend to be driven with a mix of fear and joy. I think that they are like my overriding emotions. I'm either happy or I am scared of something. That because you know I can be a person I suffer from anxiety not in a bad way but like I get really anxious about things. Anybody that listens to Analog will know that about me by now. I'm a worrier, and I think that I have that combination of being driven by happiness but also by fear. Like they are in the driving seat for me. I think
if I had to answer, I would probably give the same answer as that. Which is a lot of what I do is pursuing things that I want to do them because I feel joy in doing them. And, you know, that's definitely a part of it. And then, sure, you know, fear is a motivator at times. And you need to realize when it's unhealthy and when it's healthy. Because, again, with something we associate as a negative emotion, some fear is good. Fear can spring from, you know, an alert system that this is something you need to worry about. And other times it's bad because it's motivating you to make bad decisions or not make decisions when you need to. So I think that's true. But like I said, I feel like ultimately every time I think about this, I think I've got all of them at the, they're all poking at the control panel. They've all got very nice seats around the control panel.